Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, February 19th, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is Transfiguration Sunday. It's a blessing to welcome you here as we have moved through the season of Epiphany, which culminates with this celebration of the Transfiguration of Jesus. And we look just over the horizon to Ash Wednesday and the beginning of the season of Lent. So there is much for us to consider and to celebrate. And I believe we should begin with first things, and that is to celebrate the gift of life, which we do by taking in the breath of life. Breathe with me. Celebrate what is good, life itself. And as we breathe, we give thanks to God for the people and the places and the things and the situations, the blessings in our lives. God, thank you for this moment. Perhaps turn your face toward the sky. And in the breathing and in the giving thanks, maybe a smile might come to your face. And in this posture, in this mindset, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your bulletin. You can find today's bulletin over just to the right. Tap on that notes tab and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing. Yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, whose compassion illumines the world. Transform us into the likeness of the love of Christ, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity, the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from Matthew's gospel in the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. and we give thanks to God for it. Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word alive among us. Speak to us. Open our eyes and our ears. Incline our hearts toward you. Abide with us, O God, in this time of consideration and reflection. Save us from distraction. Help us to truly hear your word. We pray this in your holy name and say, Amen. Friends, we find ourselves at the beginning of the 17th chapter of Matthew this week, this story that's familiar to many of us if we've been around the Bible story for a while, the story of the Transfiguration, this story that we're telling right before we begin this journey of Lent that begins this Wednesday, the 22nd, on Ash Wednesday. It's a transitional story for us. We've been in this season of Epiphany, considering these stories of Jesus that reveal to us who he is, the light that comes off of him, how it helps us to see Jesus, see who he is and why he's come. And I believe in this story, just like the sermons you've heard over the last few weeks, it's important for us to know what's happened just before. What happened before Jesus takes these three up on the mountain and they see something that they've never, ever seen before? Well, what happens back in the middle of chapter 15, about the 29th verse, I believe, in chapter 15 is that we have another story of massive healing and miraculous preaching and teaching. Those who are afflicted in one way or another are brought to Jesus and he heals them. And with each healing, more and more eyes are opened. They first understand him to be a miracle worker, in the line of a prophet or a miracle worker, a man performing miracles. But as they spend time in his presence, they realize there's something even more, a grand miracle beyond the present miracles that are happening right before their eyes. And they stay with him for about 3 days, to the point where they've been there so long, Jesus is worried. He wants them to be fed before they go home. It's time for him to move on to the next town. So they sit down and they take an inventory of the supplies they have, and Jesus blesses them, and the bread is broken, and the fish are divided, and everyone has plenty to eat, and there's leftovers. And he moves on, and he travels, and then another point in the telling of the story before we get to this part in chapter 17, Jesus is confronted by some Sadducees and Pharisees, legalists, people who know the letter of it all. And they ask this question that seems rather strange, given what we've just read. They ask for a sign from heaven. And Jesus is having none of it. He says, wait, you're looking for a sign from heaven. In the evening, you see a red sky, and you know that that means that the weather will be fair in the evening. And in the morning, if you see a red sky, you know that that means there's going to be storms on that day. You can predict the weather based on the color of the sky. but you can't read the sign of the times? You don't know what's going on here? Some of you have been eyewitness to the miracles. Some of you are hearing testimony after testimony after testimony of the lame walking, of the blind seeing. I touch, they're healed. People understanding their scriptures to the full for the very first time. But you can't wake up. You have to wake up. And I always try to be gracious. I mean, as one who dares to stand and preach, I have to be gracious toward these others who dare to stand and preach, to pretend to have any authority. Let's say, right to the best of their ability to discern, they believe that they're right and their understanding of Jesus as a threat is authentic. But there's also some self-preservation going on there. Their ego, their desire to be right, not be proven wrong by this itinerant rabbi. But they continue to move on, Jesus and his disciples, from these engagements, from the massive miracle working and this movement that's forming based on this healing love that's sweeping across the region with every town that they pass through. The crowds increase, and also the ire and the suspicion of the political and religious authority increases as well. And as they carry on in this trip, Jesus more and more frequently gets the attention of their disciples and helps them understand, do you see, we do the miracles. You've seen how God is working in the lives of all the people that we touch and in your lives too. But know that this all comes at an earthly cost because we're going up against a power and an authority that is not of God. And it will all culminate, and it will be my mission that there'll be a time when we return to Jerusalem, and it will be the last time that I make the trip. Because when I get there, I'll be arrested. And they're not going to hear my case. I will receive no earthly justice, and I will be killed. But brothers and sisters, understand this, that won't be the end of the story. You lean and then you pray. And on the third day, I will reveal myself. I'll be alive. Now, as Christians, that makes sense to us. We understand what he's saying, but they couldn't have. How could they? How could they understand when he says that if you want to be my disciple, you've got to pick up your cross and follow me? The cross? The symbol of Roman oppression and torture? Deny yourself, he says. And so with this in mind, we read the story of Jesus. Maybe it's over breakfast or lunch or dinner. And he points to a few of them, Peter, James, and John, come with me. We're going to go on a prayer retreat. And so he led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he gets there. At some point, as they ascend the mountain, he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. It's been said of Matthew's gospel that it is a retelling of the Moses story. Jesus as the new Moses. On that mountain, on that day, I believe what they see fully revealed is the living word of God. Jesus is the law, Moses. Jesus is the prophets. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, This full living word of God bursts forth in a radiant, beautiful light in which they see the entirety of their story. Jesus in conversation with the law and the prophets. Can you imagine? And what would you do? I think I would just stand there with my mouth open like an idiot. Peter tries to do something. He tries to respond, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he's kind of yammer-yammering, I think, what do we do? He's still speaking, and suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. Moses receiving the law. "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself. Transforming and transfiguring. If that wasn't enough, they'd been through this experience with Jesus, just the three of them and Jesus. And it was time to come down the mountain. Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." I think we ought to carry that in our hearts as we enter into this season of Lent. The teaching of these three chapters, that Jesus is our great teacher, healer, preacher, rabbi. He is the one that challenges us to change. The business about taking up our cross, and that those who would save their lives would lose them, and that those who would lose their lives for his sake would gain them. Maybe a way for us to begin to understand that is those who refuse to change won't change. And those who are open to change and to put in the work of change will change. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, so that when we take time to be alone with you on the mountaintop or in the car in traffic, or in quiet moments at 3 o'clock in the morning, open the eyes of our hearts so that we could see you. And maybe see you in such a way, with such clarity, that it would drive us to our knees to pray, and then help us to hear your voice saying to us, "Get up and do not be afraid." And that when we look up, we see no one but Jesus himself. It's what happens in prayer. It's what happens when we, in a spiritual way, go up the mountain alone to be with Jesus in his presence. And we open ourselves up. We make ourselves vulnerable to the reality that the stories of Jesus' healing miracles aren't fictions. And if they're not fictions, if they're realities, they aren't just one-offs. They're a sign of something so powerful and beautiful that our mind almost refuses to let us see them. Open your mind, open your life and your heart and your hands. Be fed by the rabbi, be healed by the rabbi. Be taught by him, be challenged by him. Allow him to lead you up to the mountain so that you might just see who he is and why he's come. And as we move from the mountain to the valley of the shadow of death, and we walk along the road for 40 days during Lent, don't be afraid. Get up and walk. For our God is with us. And no matter what our circumstances, no matter what the headlines, that is always good news. To which I say, Amen. Let's join together in prayer. God, we come to you on this day, and we pray to walk with you and Peter and James and John, and that you would reveal to us who you are, that you would reveal to us who we are in your sight, and you'd bless us with the wisdom and the courage and the strength and the faith to pick up our cross, our unique cross, and follow you. Because you are the beloved Son of God, and we need you now and forever. And we pray, O God, that you would reveal yourself to the scribes and Pharisees of our time. Lift up prophets and teachers in your name in this day and age. God, we pray for all who find themselves in one manner of trouble or another, those who suffer in the midst of natural disaster, man-made disaster. Speak to them, come gently beside them and say, get up. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. And so too for our prayer requests. You know our lists, God. We think about them, write them down, pray about them, talk to our friends about them. But in this moment, oh God, we share with you the things that are in the depths of our hearts, our joys and our concerns. And we make quiet space and pray that you would sit beside us and comfort us and encourage us in this moment. We break our silence. We give you thanks for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we ask that you hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we come down from this mountaintop of worship, and we enter back into our regular lives, help us to hear the words of Jesus, who calls us to consider what it is we've learned, to hold it in our hearts for a while before we speak of it, to let it change us, let it transfigure us into the image of God, God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is with you now and bids you peace forever. Go in peace. Amen.